This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if you were to rely upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the required reliance, how much we should be relying on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then He would provide you for you just how a bird is provided for. So basically a bird goes in the morning hungry and just wanders. And at the end of the day, it's full. However, this hadith should not be misinterpreted, right? Tawakkul just doesn't mean like blindly relying on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? It doesn't mean just not doing anything, not taking any precautions and expect Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save you in the last moment, right? Tawakkul does not mean abandoning our worldly efforts. Rather, it means striving with all our might while detaching our heart from the outcomes. So if you have a test, you try your best to prepare for that test, right? You have in mind that I need to put my own effort. I need to try my best to try to get 100. And then during the test, when you have put in your best effort, then you rely on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you a good score. Right? Consider the example of Prophet Yaqub alayhi salam. When he advised his sons to go look for Prophet Yusuf and his brother, even though it had been so many years. Right? He said, Ya bani yadhhabu fatahassasu min Yusuf wa akhihi wa la tayasu min rawhillah innahu la yayasu min rawhillah illa alqawm alkafirun. Oh my sons, go find about Yusuf and his brother and do not despair from the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Indeed, no one despairs from the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala except for the disbelieving people. So Yaqub alayhi salam is not saying that Yusuf alayhi salam is going to come back to him. Right, he's just gonna walk in front of his house and he's gonna see him, right? He's not expecting that everything's gonna happen, right? He's having his sons go and put an effort to go find, to go look for Yusuf alayhi salam. Right? Here we see the perfect balance. Yaqub alayhi salam instructed his sons to take action, to search, while simultaneously placing his trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's plan. This balance between tawakkul and effort leads to another crucial aspect of our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is dua. Dua is the essence of worship, as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam described, الدُعَاءُ هُوَ الْعِبَادَةِ. Dua is ibadah, is worship, is the essence of worship. Right? When we make dua, we acknowledge our complete dependence upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala while trying to seek His bounty. You know, if you nag somebody for a long time, that give me this, give me that, they're gonna get annoyed. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is different. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Ar-Rahim, the All-Merciful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you to ask Him. Right? Because when we turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we are realizing that success only comes through His will. Actually, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Qur'an, وَقَالَ رَبُّكُمُ دُعُونِي أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ. And your Lord says, call upon me and I will respond to you. What an incredible invitation. The creator of the universe, the king of kings, invites us, his humble servants, which in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are not even equivalent to a grain of sand. Right? He invites us to call upon him directly with the promise of a response. But here, brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that he responds and he hears and he accepts every single dua. But we need to reflect on ourselves. Are our du'as being answered? And if not, why? This brings us to the most important part of today's khatra. The main barrier between us and our du'as getting accepted is our sins. The Prophet ﷺ warned us about a man who travels far, is disheveled, unclothed, and then raises his hands, Ya Rab, Ya Rab. Oh Lord, oh Lord. He's asking in such a miserly state, right? But that man, his food was unlawful, his drink is unlawful, his clothing is unlawful, and his food was haram. How can his dua be answered? Right? We must examine our lives, our sources of income, our interaction with others, the way we treat others, our adherence to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's commands. Are we consuming what is halal? And halal not just by food, halal in what we see, halal in our interactions, halal in the way we live our lives in general. Right, if we find ourselves falling short of this, if we find ourselves falling short from what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us, then do not despair. At the end of Surah Furqan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the punishment of hellfire, right? But then, towards the end, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the people that repent. He says, إِلَّا مَن تَابَ وَآمَنَ وَعَمِلَ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا فَأُولَٰئِكَ يُبَدِّلُ اللَّهُ سَيِّئَاتِهِمْ حَسَنَاتٍ. Except those who repent and do good actions, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will replace their sins with good deeds. Imagine that. You sinned all your life, but you give one sincere repentance to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you replace that sin with good actions. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will replace your bad deeds with good deeds. This, dear brothers and sisters, is the path forward. Remember, if we have iman, which is faith, and our repentance, we have sincerity, right? And our sincerity is coupled with righteous deeds, it is never too late to turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to renew our commitment to Him, to strive in His cause with sincerity and hope. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us the wisdom to have tawakkul with our efforts, to have sincerity in our dua, and the courage to face our shortcomings and sincerely repent to the King of the universe. May He replace our evil deeds with good and count us among the righteous. Ameen. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين.